This was a nice, lively little debate. We never do this here. I like that.
Hey, Brie.
Yes,
and also Mackenzie.
Maddie. And also yeah. Mackenzie.
How do you feel about flatulence?
I think it is a part of being a human being, and if you do not pass gas, you need to go to a doctor.
Yeah. I think if it's one in one of those compilations where it's like, do not laugh, I'm immediately going to laugh because I'm sick of fart jokes.
Okay. And there is an antithesis to darkness, which you might say is light. Am I correct?
Yes.
Today we're talking about medical gaslighting. Welcome to Unhinged.
Oh my God.
I'm still rusty with my intros, but for some reason, I like it that way.
My God. I mean, that was reaching, but it was a journey, and I appreciate that.
Yes, I do appreciate that we always are going on a journey.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, but we've all been medically gaslit in some form or another. So this is a little bit of continuation of the previous episode where Mackenzie talked about having long COVID. If you didn't watch that one, then do that. Time for us all to air our grievances with the negative side of the medical field. Kenz, do you want to kick it off?
Sure. Let me preface by saying this has been a very difficult 2 years for the medical community. I do not discount that. I understand that you guys are understaffed, overworked, and underpaid. I hate that for you, and I continuously vote for policies to help you in that regard. That's all I can do. That being said, you're my doctor. Listen to me. I want to help you out, so scratch my back.
Underpaid is debatable.
No, it depends on the field, but I'm talking about the people that actually do the care. Underpaid. I have long COVID. I've had long COVID for over 2 years now. If you look at the symptoms through the CDC, they say it lasts 6 months. They also say it has a 56% mortality rate within that 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah. So I have survived.
And we're glad of it.
Yay. And I think it's probably just because, I don't know, my immune system's weird. Everybody's immune system reacted differently to this. That being said, after that time period, they haven't studied it, right? And because I'm still around and not dead and haven't had a heart attack, potentially this is something that could be something that people just live with for a very long time. Mm. I went to an ER. Well, first I went to a general practitioner, was sent to the ER immediately because they thought I was having a heart attack. I was not having a heart attack, but they scheduled me with a cardiologist. Went to the cardiologist for several months, and then that guy, like, moved. So then I had to find another cardiologist, start all the way over. Did that. He sent me to a rheumatologist, like literally gave up on me and was like, maybe it's arthritis or maybe it's lupus. So I told him like, it's long COVID. I have literally all the symptoms. Here are all the things. He's like, go to a rheumatologist. So I went to the rheumatologist just to like basically be told I have none of that, which I already knew. They both made me get rheumatology labs. So instead of just ordering the lab work from my cardiologist, they made me get it a second time. So I got my blood taken, like, 14 vials in 2 weeks. I was just like, here you go. It's the same thing, but whatever. You guys aren't communicating. Went back to the cardiologist, told him, and he was like, I don't know what to tell you. And I was like, well, I literally brought in my day planner. I was like, I have marked every single day that I've had symptoms and what they are. It's 2 months. I'm not making this up. I was physically shaking at the appointment because it takes a lot for me to physically go places. At one point during all this process, I literally told them, my choice today was either come up here or vacuum my living room. That's how much energy I have. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'm here for you to help me. So what do you got? I printed off the CDC's explanation of long COVID from the CDC's website, not a news article, and handed it to him and said, peruse. This is what I have. Can you give me a diagnosis? And he's like, well, you need a CT scan because we need to just make sure that it's not anything else first. And I was like, okay, I have to have two echocardiograms. I have an EKG every time I come into this office. You have my blood work. We've tested my phosphorus, my lymph nodes. We've tested my thyroid. Like, I've been to the rheumatologist. This is what it is. I don't need a CT scan for this. I even did a stress test. They put me on the treadmill. And still, he won't give me a diagnosis. All of this to say, my beef today is with the cardiologist. Because all these people were very nice. But the cardiologist, A, won't listen to me. B, walked in several times. This is just the last time. But the last time I went in there, walked in on a phone call going, yeah, I know. Yeah, I'll get that to you in the next 8 hours. Yeah, I'm with the patient. Yeah, sorry. Okay, bye. Hi, what did you need?
What?
Like, look at my chart, bozo.
Yeah. He was like, what are your symptoms again? I was like, do you not have a chart? Did you not write down anything? Like, the last three visits, did you not write anything down?
You need a different cardiologist, apparently. How many of them are there in the DFW area?
Well, I'm locked into this one because they're all tied into my medical leave from work.
They are the
ones that have provided all the paperwork. So until that's done, I have to stay with these bozos. But in order to get that paperwork, and the short version of this, if you haven't seen the other episode, is I'm on leave that protects my job, and I'm attempting to get reimbursement as short-term disability so that I can get paid for the last 3 months. But that hasn't happened so far, just my job protection. That's two sets of paperwork, two claims adjusters, because they don't all work in the same department. Two different forms that needed to be filled out. The thing that protected my job, I had to physically sign one portion of it and describe my symptoms. And the other half, they do the same thing. And then they fax it, and it's literally supposed to be that simple. They lost my paperwork 6 times.
Literally,
and the last time,
six.
Literally six. I had to physically go up there the last time and go, here's the paperwork. I printed it out and re-signed it. Can you literally just put your name on it? And can I watch you fax it?
Yeah.
That's all I need. And she signed the paperwork, the little physical assistant or whatever, physician's assistant, and handed it back to me and was like, just make sure I've done everything right. She skipped everything that said I had a medical necessity. And I was like, can you sign all of this and say exactly what I put on this paper? Because the symptoms are in your system. You've seen me 4 times. Everything that we've talked about is in the system. So can you put it down and say that? And she was like, well, how is this a medical necessity? Like, why are you at work? And I was like, I am here today because I am 29 years old and I am too sick to work. Look at my chart. So after all of this, I filled in what my symptoms were and said, just sign it. Then she signed it and then just put 2 long hours. Not that my symptoms were important, nothing else, but 2 long hours.
She also did eventually look at the chart and was like, it just says you're here for heart palpitations and that's it.
Yeah. And I was like, no. I've consistently told you guys all of this. It's literally having COVID minus the cough.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want from me? The only thing that they can put right now as a diagnosis, because for some reason these guys refuse to put long COVID, and I don't know why, is that I have PVCs. And for anybody that knows medical stuff, it just means that my heartbeat is irregular. Like,
yeah.
For some reason, ever since I got COVID, it skips a ton of beats and it goes all over the place. And every time I have a physician that's not my cardiologist listen to it, they go, oh, what's going on there? And I go, I have PVCs. And they go, oh, okay. Every time. That is part of my symptoms, but that's permanent. That doesn't go away. So, all of this to say, they were also responsible for my short-term disability leave, which would get me pay so that I could live in the meantime while I get better. And pay for doctor's visits and all of this. The short-term disability department, and I verified this, sent them the documentation 4 times. They did not sign it, and they did not fax it back. So it was denied. So I don't get paid for missing 3 months of work because they didn't sign the paperwork or fax it back. That takes 15 minutes, 10 minutes maybe max at the end of your day. So I don't get paid unless I physically make them fight, which is what I've been doing. I even asked, like, can I print out the paperwork and take it up to them? And they were like, because it's disability, we can't trust the individual to print off the paperwork and take it in because you could forge it. So we need the doctor's office to sign off on this directly. So we send it directly to them, but they have not responded 4 times. So I had to go in there, and when I sent the other paperwork in, make them sign the same paperwork. But because they'd missed it 4 times, they threw it away. So then they had to call my insurance and be like, can you fax that form back through? And I was like, this is great. They're finally going to at least do that. And then my insurance said it'll take up to an hour to fax it over to you guys. So I was like, I have to wait here an hour. And the lady at the front desk assured me, and I knew I wouldn't get anything from it, but was like, don't worry. It'll be through in an hour, and I'll call you and let you know as soon as we've done it. And I never got a call. So that was on a Friday. I waited the whole weekend. I waited after that because it was Memorial Day. There was a whole day off. I waited on that Tuesday and called them and said, did you submit the paperwork? And they were like, we never received it. And I was like, yeah! Because I had just called short-term disability and they said they sent it. So I was like, sir, look in your system. Look in, I know you have a fax log. Look at it. Did they send it to you? And he was like, oh, I'm sorry. The doctor's actually signed it. We just haven't faxed it yet.
Oh my God.
And I was like, I'm going to murder you. I was like, I need you to understand. I could lose my occupation if you don't do this.
Yeah.
This isn't convenient. And I'm sorry. Like, I'm trying to get paid. Sure, I'm trying to get paid. I could lose my job if you guys don't do this. And that is a lawsuit. So, because I have a paper trail. If you guys don't sign this, we're going to have problems. So,
and McKinsey paid them to do this. Like, they charged like $75 for one thing to be signed, and they still didn't do it.
Yeah. They told me I would have to pay $75, and then I would have to wait 5 to 7 business days for them to fax it. And I was like, what? So, long story short, the first paperwork went through, and I still have no word on whether or not I'm going to get paid. Because I think they faxed it. So I have to call them again tomorrow probably and just make sure everybody got the paperwork they needed so that I can appeal it and go, hey, this wasn't on me. I did everything I was supposed to do and my doctor's an idiot. Can we look at this again for medical reasons and verify this for leave? And I guarantee you they won't pay me. But if I hadn't just sold the house prior to this, I'd be in debt right now.
Yeah.
I got bills. But yeah. I can't work. What are you supposed to do, man?
That's awful. I'm so sorry. And that's just, I don't understand, like, I mean, I do, like you said, doctors are busy right now. Yeah. They are currently very backlogged because of, you know, I don't know if y'all knew about this, but we had a pandemic and you shouldn't be losing paperwork that much. That is insane to me.
It's literally what a file cabinet's for.
Just... Yeah.
Do this number like, and know that on Thursday you have to look at it.
Once, understandable. Twice, still like annoying, still kind of understandable. But to me, like 3 times or more is getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously, though.
I was patient with it. I mean, I've had to do this a couple times because long COVID cycles. So I've done this with other doctors. It was similar. I mean, my general practitioner lost my paperwork at least twice, which to me says... do it digitally, like literally just get on DocuSign and slap that shit down and go. But they don't do that. I don't know if it's legal purposes or what, but yeah, it's very, very convoluted. And yeah, it's to me bigger, like it's a whole bigger issue than this because I'm an Enneagram 8. There's always a bigger reason, right? Something to challenge. And to me, it's the way that the medical system is handled in the United States. Basically, you want the system, and this is my opinion. This opinion may not reflect the views of the people on this podcast, but I am a worker in your eyes, and that's all I am in capitalist society. You want the worker to return to work, but be as distanced as possible from the source, the means of that. Basically, I don't own my company. I don't participate in my company. State Farm says that they do because you can own shares of the company. But you have no say in its development. You have no say in how anything works.
But that's also not guaranteed.
It's not guaranteed. But I'm a worker that works for a big corporation, and that big corporation determines how my work life exists. I have no say in it. While simultaneously holding the purse strings to my medical benefits.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't get a say in anything. It's just if they're in network, how much it's going to cost is up to that insurance company. And if I lose my job... sure, I can buy my own independent stuff for thousands of dollars a month. But if you get sick in America, they don't care and they do everything in their power to push you back into the workplace, even if you're not physically capable. Or you go on disability, which is potentially $900 a month, which you can't live on. Rent in Texas is a minimum of $1,200 a month. So if you're a single individual that is disabled, you're up a creek. You have to live in a situation that may not be safe for you, may not be healthy for you, and there's nothing anyone can do about it.
What's extra shady about that is if you are married, not both disabled, just
married.
A disabled person who is married, you get $2,000+ a month, which is weird because you have more income if you're married. Yeah. But I know, like, and I'm not talking about individuals or people who think that they're voting with their conscience or things like that, but in sure. terms of, like, the government and the people who put forth these policies and things like that, the only reason those people are anti-abortion, anti-gay, is because, generally speaking, it's about procreation. It's about making a larger workforce.
Yeah.
And to the point where there was a state, I think it was Arizona, that was trying to make having a roommate illegal. Because they're like, if you're going to live together, you need to be making a child to send out to the workforce. Like, literally, that's what it said. So, yeah, the government only cares if you're making more babies so that they can have more workers so that they can continue making the amount of money they're making. And they, I mean, every single side is completely soulless. Don't get it screwed up. Like, they're all completely soulless. Yeah. So that just really, really gets to me.
It doesn't matter what flag you're flying. Everybody want that dollar bill. Yeah.
But my medical gaslighting experience, which I think both of you guys know, but I don't think we've talked about it in the podcast, happens all the time. But my most recent one was I went to, so my main doctor that I usually go to referred me to some other person to get me anti-anxiety medication and birth control, basically to make less things happen in my body for the autism. So, you know, if I can stay on continuous birth control and not feel any, like, menstruation stuff, great. Stuff like that. So that's why I was sent there. The doctor I was sent to was also friends with my doctor. So, like, it's shady, but you would think, like, oh, and they'll be extra careful.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I go in, and she, first of all, they had me wait forever, even though there was only one other person in the lobby. I go in there, and two different nurses check my blood pressure. Like, I was kind of being passed around between two different people, and every time the other woman would come back, I'd be like, have they done this yet? Like, no one was communicating.
Yeah.
Then I finally get to the actual doctor that I'm supposed to talk to. Not that they're not actual doctors, but the individual that I was referred to. And I'm explaining what's going on. I'm like, you know, it's because of the ASD, blah, blah, blah. She asks me what I'm on for that. I'm like, well, there's not really ASD medication. it shouldn't be. So I was like, I mean, nothing. I showed her my, like, I'm on medical marijuana. I showed her my, like, prescription for it. Because she was like, that's not possible. It's not legal here. And I was like, nope, there are conditions that it is. Here you go. Here's the proof.
It was literally passed months ago.
And I'm like, you know, I'm autistic and that's one of the criteria. And like, here's the proof for it. And when I said I was autistic, she goes, that doesn't seem right either. And I was like, no, I have the diagnosis. It's right. Your job is to see that this other doctor wants me to have this medication for this symptom and say, okay, that's your job.
Yeah.
And she like argued with me and she was like, that doesn't seem right. And I was like, well, it is. And here's the diagnostic paperwork, which I pre-sent you before coming in here. She goes, who diagnosed you? And I told her, which also she should have the paperwork for. And she was like, that's weird. I'm going to call him because I don't think that that's right. Then wow. She goes, anyway, what's your insurance? Yeah. Anyway, what's your insurance? I tell her, again, they already have that. So she goes, okay, cool. Pulls it up. And she goes, wow, you have really good insurance. Let's test for high blood pressure, low blood pressure, diabetes. Like, starts listing all these things that are a complete non-issue. They have nothing to do with why I'm there. Nothing. Just, oh, you have great insurance. Let's bill a bunch of crap, is basically what she told me. And I was like, no, I'm here for these two things, and that's it. And she goes, yeah, no, trust me, this will be good. You need this stuff done anyway. And then Driscoll's like, okay, yeah, we'll get it scheduled, and walked out of the room, left. Didn't tell me if I was done. Like, I literally just sat there. And finally, I walk out and find one of the nurses, and I'm like, am I done? And she's like, I don't know. And I was like, this is what happened. And she's like, sounds like you're done to me. Have a good one. Okay. They did not... First of all, they billed me up front. They didn't bill me after, which feels weird. I've never had that happen before. But
like
whatever,
for a copay?
Maybe. Yeah.
I usually have to pay
okay.
copay.
I thought that front. Was weird because I'm like, shouldn't I pay after, like for the, anyway. But
you
that was
the
end of the world, I guess.
Yeah.
But it was really weird. But because I paid up front, no one was like, oh, hang on, stop here, pay, and we'll get you scheduled. Like they all were just like. No, leave. I'm sure they'll call you. Because I kept asking, like, the desk lady on the way out, I was like, so she wanted to run all this stuff, and she didn't give me either prescription that I came there for. Do I call you guys? Is she going to call me to set up the correct appointment? And they were like, oh, yeah, I'm sure. So I left. Never heard from her again at all. I didn't call them back because I didn't want to work with them.
No.
And then I get a call literally probably a full month later from a pharmacy that was like, hey, we have had birth control sitting here for a month. And I was like, what are you talking about? And they were like, yeah, you're supposed to have picked it up on this date, which was like the date after I had been into the doctor. Didn't tell me she had called it in. Didn't. Nothing. I had absolutely no clue or information to indicate that that was happening. And I was like, okay. So I went in and picked that up. Never gave me the anxiety medication. It was very, very weird. So I ended up going through somebody else. But yeah, that was all very bizarre. Like, ma'am, you're not a psychiatrist. Don't question mine.
Not seriously. Only that, but if you have a psychiatrist with a diagnosis and you have diagnostic papers to back it up, and that is their job. Your medical, like, practitioner, like, normally your doctor doesn't, they tell you to go to them. They tell you, we can't diagnose you, go to them. So if you already have it, you don't get to then go, oh, I don't think that's what you have.
No, you don't. Yeah.
It's not your job.
My guess is she didn't like that I was prescribed medical marijuana and that she was wrong.
Probably.
So she just was like, no, I need to really lean into this thing because I have a fragile ego. That's what I bet. But, like, still, get wrecked. I don't care about your little feelings.
Yeah.
So.
Boy, oh boy.
Good grief. Yeah. Good grief. Yeah, that's garbage. And yeah. I've already talked about some of my medical gaslighting. If anybody remembers my old pal from Wonderland High School of Dance or something like that. Which, by the way, as an update, my test results did come back, and no, I do not have the Wooten Fluffer, and I will not be receiving a course of bees, because I went to a doctor, who then tested me correctly and said, no, would you look at that, it is in fact the Hatter's Futterwacken, so...
Nice.
Guess
Very
what?
Nice.
Guess who does not need bees? It's me.
You're like, can you say that into this voice memo that I'm going to send to my other Air Force doctor?
We love to see it.
Could you end it with what idiot diagnosed you?
Yeah. If you could we try it again only with better lighting? That'd be great.
Yeah. Oh,
but yeah,
please.
Basically, well, yeah. we just want medical professionals to believe us. Because, yes, there are plenty of hypochondriacs out there, and there are plenty of people who are trying to, like, skirt the system and whatnot, but there are also infinitely more people who are telling the truth and just want their problems to be fixed.
Yeah.
And if it's not a medical, like, ethical dilemma, what do you gain from telling your patient no? What do you gain? You don't live their life every day.
Exactly. Truly believe you have to have a certain level of just sheer arrogance and superiority complex to even start, like, the medical field.
I think
people start it and then are like, oh, I actually give a shit and this area doesn't. And there are, of course, people who complete it. But, like, the majority of doctors I've ever encountered are all arrogant, argue with each other. Like, there's someone I know, I don't know if they want to be mentioned, but someone that I know who is not technically a medical like, doesn't qualify as a medical doctor, but is a medical professional in a different field that has to work with doctors a lot, hates working with them. Hates it. Because they'll present, like, here is what is wrong with this person. Here is what the treatment needs to be. They agree. You know, they have expressed these symptoms. I'm simply referring you to complete the treatment because you have different equipment than my facility. And the medical doctor will send them all the way back through the system again. Like, yeah, we don't buy it. Because I didn't personally sign off and say that you do have it. So even though they're also completely qualified to diagnose you, I'd rather personally diagnose you. So they send them through like 5 or 6 more things. It's like, no, you're literally there for just the treatment piece. So I don't know. I literally hesitate when it comes to being friends with or anything. I'm like, oh, you're a doctor.
Oh, no.
Like, I hesitate.
See, I disagree that it's the vast majority. I'm pretty sure it's split pretty evenly down the middle of people who genuinely want to help and are genuinely good at their job, and then the people who just got into the field so they could fix puzzles and, you know, feel better about themselves. And then there's that weird little tiny subset of people who just don't even know how they got to become doctors, and they don't know what they're doing, and how did we even get here, and what is a space?
I'm someone's kid, and they wanted me to be a doctor, and they knew people.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel as though it is. It's unfortunate because it seems like, well, all it takes is one bad experience with one of those to make you completely distrust the medical field in general. Yeah. And that's very unfortunate.
Well, I'm 27, and I've had one good doctor. One.
Interesting.
Yeah. And the rest of them have gaslit, argued, told me I'm wrong. It's always been that way for me.
Part of that also could be they are, like, I think there's a certain assumption when I go into a doctor that they may not know what I need, but we're going to then try to get to a resolution of some kind, right?
Right.
Even if they suck as a human, I know by the end of it that I'm going to say my piece and we're going to try to get to a resolution. And potentially, maybe with somebody that lived with undiagnosed autism for a very long time, potentially, these doctors, in essence, were not using the kind of language that they should use as a human. Like, if I go into a doctor's office, I kind of assume they're going to be arrogant, so I just, like, brace myself for that and I do whatever just to get to the point. Maybe it's different. Like, maybe it resonates different. If they're a-holes, I don't know.
That ain't it.
Okay.
That's definitely not it.
Okay. I can't speak to your experience. I know that sometimes you've talked about communication styles.
I have now developed a system where I have a specific tone and set of ways I present my symptoms that generally does work.
Okay.
But it has, like, I've literally had to go in. The only way that I get what I need from doctors, which I did not do with this last one, and I probably should have, is, unfortunately, I tell myself, like, okay, you have to go in like you absolutely know more than them. You do not have time for them, and this is exactly what you need. Anytime I do that, I'll say, like, this is what I have. I know it. I've done the research. I'm not asking you. I'm telling you to give me this prescription because I know that's what it is. And it's weird, and that's exactly how I talk to them. I talk to them how they would speak to me. And it's weird how they automatically are like, oh, okay, cool. And do it. And like, what that tells me is you're happy as long as anyone but you is doing your job. And so I think it's one of those fields where, like, personally, a lot of the people who went in with good intentions, I personally know, like, they've ended up quitting because of that experience.
Mm. See,
also, like, even if the rest of the world is a hypochondriac, that's also a diagnosis. It's like, you still don't get to, you know, go in assuming people are lying, and, you know, like, it's still a different form of help that person would need. So,
I've had multiple different experiences, and I think, honestly, I think the way you're presenting it, they go, oh, okay, this person obviously has done their research and knows what's up, and okay, then I'll believe you. I'll double check your work, but I think you are correct. Because I've started doing something similar, less about, like, I'm just like, hey, ever since I've started doing this with my primary physician and with other physicians, I've gotten great results. I basically go in because, you know, if I have something going on, so for example, I had a rash like a couple months back that just appeared at random on my body, and I searched up the symptoms, saw that one of the spots was like bigger and an oval shape and kind of looked like ringworm. And I was like, okay, got to write that down. Like, I noted all my symptoms, looked it up. Turned out it looked a lot like, I believe it's called pteriasis rosacea. I could be saying that wrong, but who cares? And I was like, well, that looks very similar. Let me go to my doctor and see what she thinks. Mm-hmm. And so I did. And then go in, doctor says, okay, so can I see the rash? And I was like, yeah, I think it could be this. And then I said, I think it also could be potentially this other thing, but I'm really thinking it's this. Yeah. And she's like, okay, well, let's double check. And she looks at it. She goes, yep. And she literally pulled up the symptoms list and like a photo, like on her computer, looked at it, referenced it, went, okay, that's correct. That's it. We went from there as far as like treatment options goes, because I knew that she obviously knew more about that. But I think there's something to be said for just going in and saying like, hey, I think it could be this, or I think it could be that. And it's kind of like how I referenced in telling my story with Alice. I've gotten so used to that, that it's boggling to me when someone is in a medical field is so insecure in themselves that they won't hear their patient out.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I appreciate you, Maddie. Yeah. I appreciate you sharing your perspective on it. I hope I wasn't offensive in the way that I responded to it. I just was genuinely curious about it. But yeah, I feel like doctors
it's definitely a them problem.
Gotcha.
It's definitely a them problem. I mean, again, I showed you my paperwork and you questioned me.
Yeah, that's not okay. That is very, very like horrible. I can't imagine looking at another doctor's diagnosis and then saying like, well, I don't think it's correct. Like, just if it'd be one thing if it was like, hey, if you're going and saying, I think my doctor might have misdiagnosed me or something. Mm-hmm. Can you double check for me? But you weren't asking for that.
Right. Yeah.
That's not how this works.
And my thing is, like, I agree that, like, it's great that you and I have figured out, okay, if I do this thing, I'll get results. What's ridiculous is that we had to, because not everyone's capable of doing that. That's what pisses me off. I'm like, your job, you go to all this schooling and you do all this stuff. The concept is so people can go, oh, I have no clue what's wrong with me. Mm-hmm. Let me go to this person who supposedly has this ridiculous education level to help me figure out what's wrong with me. It's ludicrous to me that I have to pay hundreds of dollars for you to need me to do all the work and just like lazily confirm it and write me a quick script. I hate that. I hate that. You should be staying up late like a therapist does, like anyone else in any other field who isn't trained into arrogance. You should be like, wow, I really care about what happens to this patient, and it bothers me at night that I don't know, and I would like to research it, and I would like to help them. And if you're going to refer them to somebody else, it should be like because you are kind of on a certain path and are like, you know what, I bet this is out of my scope, but Bill can help. And not like, I don't know, I'm bored, I'm tired of dealing with it, it's making me feel dumb, so since I feel dumb and I don't want to feel dumb, I'm gonna say it's your fault and you're wrong and send you to somebody else. Like, that's the thing, they're trained, and I've heard the experience of medical school, like a lot of them are trained to just really hard and fast lean into an answer, even if they're not sure, because they're like, oh, people need to make sure that you feel confident, so you can never make them think that you don't know what you're answering or that you're wrong. And like, the only doctor that I've had that's great has often been like, you know what, I think that's actually out of my scope, I'm not sure, let me call around, I have some friends in these fields, let me call around and see if any of them have more answers.
Yeah.
And that doctor did extra legwork,
right,
their job, you could say, to help me diagnose the thing. And so that's what makes me so mad. It's like America in general, the majority of stuff you have to do yourself. Like, it haunts me. I'm gonna go on a brief rant, but that's what we do at Unhinged. I get pissed when like a car insurance commercial comes on, or it'll be like Zebra helping you find the cheapest rates. F you. Nothing should be a fluctuation of cost. Like, either the government should be paying for it if it's so required, or you should say, blank, this is what car insurance costs. Like, we shouldn't have to do endless research to get a fair deal on literally everything. And most of it's required. Pisses me off. Anyway, the end. I don't like America.
See,
I think, go ahead, Brie.
I'm very truly 110% sorry that you guys have had such shitty luck with doctors. I really am. But I'm going to say it. Not all doctors... Yeah. Not all doctors.
I think compassion fatigue's a thing.
Oh, yes.
And I understand that, too. I think for us, I know we personally were raised to be like, just don't go to the doctor, like figure out another solution because it's expensive and because they probably won't listen to you. That was truly how we were raised. And then when we actually had medical issues and started going to the doctor, unfortunately, it confirmed it because we've had nothing but repeatedly poor experiences. Mm. There are probably a lot of really good doctors that care about their patients and are attentive, and they probably have a schedule that's backed to next Tuesday. Mm-hmm. But because of that, the rest of us are left going to the gamble, the draw. And sometimes you get a good one and sometimes you don't, but in our situation, unfortunately, it just proved true. But I agree. I don't think all doctors are like that, but I do think a lot of them are, you know, knee deep in student loans and knowledge that has been forced into their brain for the last decade as they're getting all this schooling. And so they do feel that they have a right to tell you what's wrong with you, even if, you know, they're not listening to you or your symptoms or anything else. So I get it on a lot of levels. My final note is, regardless, it is exhausting.
Oh, yeah. It is 110%. Exhausting. Like, I'm not at all trying to invalidate y'all's experiences.
Not at all. Yeah. At all. And I see that. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I've always had a huge issue with doctors. I think they're... I don't like them. I think it is the majority, personally. I would say not all doctors, by like maybe two.
Okay. Right. Well, you're entitled to your opinion.
Two per 500,000 might be good, but I think the burden of proof is on the
as a rule.
Same.
So that's why.
Yeah.
I got a 9 wing.
I don't give a shit. I'll do it. How else are you going to improve if you don't know you're a piece of shit? You are.
That's fair.
The burden of proof is on the group of people who causes the most problems, and it's not the patients.
This is the one that's purposefully contrary on every single NEHA podcast.
I am not Felix is purposefully contrary. Well, I'm not. Know. Excuse you. Incorrect.
No, I guess I've just had enough good doctors to balance out the bad ones, maybe. And I'm really sorry that y'all had just garbage doctor after garbage doctor after garbage doctor. I honestly, what's crazy to me, or I guess it's really not that crazy, it makes sense. If you can find one good doctor, you can then tap into their network of really good doctors.
Yeah.
Because they all know each other. Dude, the doctor that is covering for my primary right now, because my primary is out for a bit, is amazing to the point where I'm like, can I have two primary doctors? Because you're really good at this. And you listen to me. And you told me I did my research, and I appreciate that.
That's great. I'm glad you've had that experience, for sure.
Heck yeah. And honestly, Bree, being friends with you made me realize, I can go to the doctor for things.
Really?
I'm not joking. Into my 20s, I never went to the doctor for anything. I don't think I've had a checkup properly, unless I had a severe issue. Like, if I had an allergic reaction, then they threw in a couple things because they were, like, you know, wanting to make sure that I was alive. otherwise, no, I literally don't go to the doctor. But that's fascinating. But, yeah, no, I mean, Maddie, you probably speak for a lot of other people as well. A lot of people probably feel the same way you do on that. So I'm not trying to disregard your perspective either.
I am not ever have a different purposefully one. Contrary. I see things
That was
factually.
A joke. That was a joke.
Well, you some people are neurodivergent who are listening, facts. And they might not know it's a joke, so I have to clarify if a neurodivergent listener is listening.
Right,
they probably
I too
are because that's who we are.
Yeah,
but I am not ever purposefully contrarian. I am sure about things, or I don't bother with them. And so, if I feel like someone is wrong, also Enneagram wise, if you know the Enneagram and you're listening, I'm a 5, but my tri type is 1, 3 and
8.
No,
you talked about
1 is what I am in gut. In gut, I'm 1. In heart, I'm 3, but my wing is 4. And then in head, I think I was double 5 actually. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so when my 8 and my 1 are on the same page, like, I will be extremely rigid because I'm like, you're wrong, and I'll be very loud about it. And usually that's where, like, my justice lands is in that, like, gut area. Mm-hmm. So when I'm inflexible, it is well researched and highly personally experienced before I come to that conclusion. So I'm not trying to be contrary. I just think people verbalize their exploration of something, and I don't. I wait till I'm at the answer, and so, yeah, like, other people watch a journey for people. Like, oh, now you believe that because you've been through that. I don't. I'll wait, and they'll be like, here's every reason that this thing is happening, so.
Well, I, too, am neurodivergent, so let me reiterate. This was a joke. This was a joke. A joke for all.
I was not joking.
Yes.
I'm never fair enough. That's fair also enough. A joke in itself when I say that I'm not joking.
Fair.
Wait, no.
Enough.
No, when I say that I never joke. Oh, I messed up the explanation.
Oh, no.
I joke often is what I'm trying to say, but
yeah.
But the other things that I said were not jokes.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Well, this was a nice, lively little debate. We never do this here. I like that. Because
sorry to bring some heat.
Yeah, how dare you? How dare you? But if you enjoyed this little discussion today, please do give us a rating that you think is fair, and consider following and or subscribing if you so desire, because you might want those daily notifications. You never know. Maybe you're just itching for something to be like, hey, I'm going to remind you of something every single day. Because we will be here every single day until every we day. Spontaneously aren't anymore. But don't worry. You can count out how many more there are because we tell you in the description. I'm ending this way too long, but thank you for being here, and come back tomorrow because we will be here. Okay.
Yes.
And thanks to Mackenzie, and goodbye.